Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
On the topic of Elliott, and this may not be the case, but it seemed like the case in Tennessee was that there became an issue when it came to you earning full roster control and kind of wanting to be in that role in addition to the head coach role. If that's accurate.
No, we didn't win enough games in Tennessee. I think that's the problem. that's never been an issue.
Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with this arrangement? Where
absolutely,
it's kind of
beyond
like
comfortable. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And I think that through the conversations and the interview process and the conversations over the weekend with Elliott and with Robert and Jonathan and just trying to put a roster together in a program. That to me, that's the biggest thing. I want to try to put a program around our coaches, our support staff, our personnel department, our players most especially, that people want to be a part of, that they're proud of, that they invest time and energy in, and we can start to see results, you know, beginning here in the off season when we don't have the players, and then when we have the players in April, that these guys are like, okay, I feel like what we're doing is going to help me. We don't want to waste anybody's time, especially the players' time. So this is all very important to me, and it's all very calculated after having done it, you know, for 6 years in Tennessee.
That was Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, it's up on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. You can also find it on the Odyssey app. Get it on your phone. Well, you won't miss out on anything from WEEI, whether it's the Greg Hill Show, Jones and Keefe, or WEEI Afternoons. I guess he was prompted in that case. He already mentioned Elliott Wolf's name prior to that. I guess he was prompted in that case about the arrangement, not Wolf by name. But he continues to bring up Elliott Wolf over and over and over again.
He does.
I am encouraged listening to Tommy Curran with us, which Same. Is also on the Odyssey app and will be up shortly on YouTube. I'm encouraged by that. Like the number four pick, who's going to have say? He thinks it's going to be Vrabel.
Yeah.
So I asked him, fine, okay, so if it's Vrabel and Elliott Wolf is more of a support guy, great. What about Wolf versus Cowden? And I think the instinct there would be, well, Cowden's Vrabel's guy, so how do you think it's going to go? But then I got to dismiss Charles Robinson and Burt Breer, and I got to dismiss Mike Garofolo and all these national guys. Not to say I don't believe Tommy Curran, but even Curran and Phil Perry, I think, disagree on this one to a degree. I think Wolf's going to have a role. He just said Wolf's going to be here beyond the draft. So, look, if Vrabel has the say on the big decisions, I guess that's all I really care about. Wolf, yeah. You can make your seventh-round picks. And Vrabel's going to have heavy input on the number four pick. And Wolf, you can sign the, hopefully you do better than Chukwuma Okorafor and KJ Osborne, but sign the scrap heap guys. Vrabel's going to make a call on the big ticket items. Okay, fine. And then there's nuance there, but Vrabel's really running the show for at least what I care about. I don't think Wolf has zero power, though. And even listening to Tom, he's going to have a role and he's going to work with Vrabel, which, based on his track record, I think is still scary.
But I think, it is. Like, there's not really a whole lot for Wolf to point to and be like, see, I did all these things that were great, so you guys should trust me. But then I think I'll just I'll trust Vrabel. And I know I keep going back to the same example,
but it's a good example.
But it's a really strong example where John Robinson was running things with Tennessee. He clearly had final say, and he thought he could pull a Steph Diggs for Justin Jefferson, and he traded A.J. Brown after Vrabel told Brown he wasn't going to get traded, and then they drafted Treylon Burks, who ended up being a bust. And that led to the downfall of Vrabel with the Titans. Led to Robinson losing his job, then Vrabel losing his job, and then the Titans being the mess that they're in right now. So I can't imagine he would go to a situation where that same thing could happen. Let's say, for just to make it simple, he loves Abdul Carter. He's obsessed with Abdul Carter. Vrabel's like, this is what we need for our defense. And even his guy that he brings in is like, I don't know. And Elliott Wolf's like, I think we'd be better off doing X, Y, or Z. I think Vrabel gets what he wants.
So let me present a scenario that applies to the A.J. Brown, and this is probably why having someone like Elliott Wolf around is dangerous to me.
Okay.
Drafting Abdul Carter, you're right. I think Vrabel wins that battle with Elliott Wolf. And maybe to Curran's point, they're not all going to be screaming at each other in their first draft. They're all going to try to pull in the same direction, and Elliott Wolf might be subservient to a degree. Now, Abdul Carter in 4 or 5 years is Micah Parsons. And now, which is great, but now, and this is what happened with A.J. Brown, you got to pay him. Or Elliott Wolf runs up the back stairs and says, well, yeah, I mean, Robert, you can pay this guy, or I can just find you your next guy in the draft.
He's like, well, Mike found us that guy.
Okay, but I'm just saying that's where it gets you into trouble. Like,
well, this does all come back down to
A.J. Brown, I'm sure Tennessee just didn't want to pay him. And when the GM, John Robinson, in that case, goes, well, I can find you another A.J. Brown, they go, yeah, let's do that. I can see that being a problem if Wolf survives. I can see that being an issue. That's a longer-term issue.
Well, regardless,
but it's why I would just blow him out and not even deal with it.
Yeah, but I think the bigger problem there would be Robert Kraft saying that we're not going to pay the guy. That, to me, like, whether it's Wolf or anybody else who's in charge there, they might say,
what owner wants to pay the guy when you go,
owners are paying the guy, though.
I can find you the next guy.
Yeah, nobody wants to, but, like, Minnesota didn't pull that crap with Jefferson. They did it with Diggs. And then they got Jefferson, and they're like, we'll pay him.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they paid. That felt like it got rocky for a little while, but they did blow out Stephon Diggs.
Oh, it's always going to get rocky, it seems like. Yeah. Like, these guys, they kind of wait, and then they wait for the next contract, and then they get to hold that one up against there, and then CeeDee Lamb gets to get whatever his deal is, et cetera. But, I mean, that's 5 years down the road, and that's certainly a possibility. Right now, they only have two guys on their team that are in store for paydays at any point.
It's totally true. But I'm highlighting an example of why I think just even keeping Elliott Wolf around, people are like, well, what's the harm in the meantime? Well, the harm is he survives. And then somewhere down the line, he's screwing it over. And yeah, I don't want him having say in any of these draft picks. So I would have made a clean break. I think he was slightly better at his job than Mayo. Only because I can't entirely quantify free agency, because ownership is a complication there. Which ties into something Vrabel said to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, yesterday in a one-on-one after the press conference. Let's listen to this again, because this sounds like excuse-making for Vrabel on Wolf's behalf, which I also don't love.
You know, having talked to Elliott, I think that, and getting to know him through the interview process, and then, you know, some over the weekend, you know, there were some things that maybe didn't allow him to completely invest in personnel.
Okay, and I'm not going to be... Time out. I know what Curran just explained away. That it's time. We might already be getting our first Vrabel walk back.
Well, yeah. Not it'll a be public, interesting if he does it, but no.
Not a public walk back, but like a slap on the wrist. Like, what do you mean by that, Mike?
Oh, it is more nuanced, though. It's a more professional way of saying it than, like, you know, burn some cash and, like, just put your foot in your mouth. Like, he did try to massage the situation, but it is pretty clear that they didn't really spend a lot of money on the team. So what is Elliott Wolf supposed to do?
You heard Curran's explanation. You still think that's what he's referencing?
I do.
Me too.
Yeah.
No. I don't think we're talking about time. We're talking about money.
Yeah, I do. Like, when you have to... You're waiting at the end. You re-sign some guys, sure, and then you wait around and you get the, you know, Chukwuma Okorafor and the Antonio Gibsons of the world. I don't want to put Gibson in the same bucket as Chukwuma Okorafor. He played and actually played hard, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that, I think it has a lot to do with that. But we've also seen, even under Bill, it does kind of ebb and flow. Most years, they're not spending at the top, but every once in a while, they kind of surprise you. So, you know, they're very similar to the Red Sox, where I won't believe it until it happens, but there is a chance that they spend money this offseason.
And if you want to be charitable and say it is money, and like, I'm sure ownership is saying, no, that's not what he meant by that. Tom, what he meant was it's time. It's not the money. It's time is what I'm sure he meant. Or even Vrabel if he's asked about it.
Yeah, but either way, I guess he is making an excuse for Wolf.
That's true. He definitely is. Whether it's money or time, it is an excuse for Wolf. If you want to read it charitably, maybe he's like, well, he had restrictions financially last year, but this year there won't be.
Maybe.
And so maybe that's a positive way to read it. But here's the full excuse making from Vrabel.
And I'm not going to be able to watch every player. I'm not going to be able to watch as many players as they will. And I'm excited about them being able to consolidate that, to get me the players, to get me in front of the players that we need to identify and evaluate. And allow me to coach the football team and then, you know, come together with a shared vision about who can help us. And then, you know, part of that is also developing them. I mentioned that. I believe in that, teaching them, developing them, and then inspiring them, you know, through a connection. So whatever they've done, you know, whatever they did last year, that was last year. And we're going to give them an opportunity to prove their value this year to the football team.
So I hear that and I go, wow, he's echoing what Wolf told Henry McKenna, blaming the coaching staff for not developing his draft picks. You heard something different, Keith. I think it's a good observation.
Yeah, I just think that it's such an undertaking, especially the next few months, where so he's going to figure out his own roster and guys that are on the team. Mike Vrabel does. And then, oh, by the way, you have a draft coming where can you watch these like 100 receivers and boil it down, these 100 D tackles and like whatever. But the list is probably even bigger than that. This way, Elliot Wolf and his guys can take all those college players and don't whittle it down to one or two and be like, which guy do you like? Whittle it down to 15, 20, and then Mike Vrabel can take a look at those guys. And so, yeah, you might miss some diamonds in the rough or whatever, but at least give him less work to do and let him identify the guys he really wants to work with on the team. So that's how I view that. Like, you don't want to do everything, you'll get burnt out. That's why no coach is really the GM in football. Like, right. Belichick was the last one. He was the only one for a while. Then he was the last one. And I don't know if really we're going to see it again. Like, we're probably going to get situations like this, and there are in the league where, you know, big calls, big saves might be the coach, but you still need to have guys in the front office doing all that other, like, all that other scouting and stuff.
No, it's a good point. You know, Elliot Wolf, you go watch the wide receiver from Troy.
Yeah.
And
is it worth my time or not?
You go watch the tight end from Sacramento State. And you stack the prospects, you stack them all, and then I'm going to look at your top 15 or 20 at each position. You know, maybe wide receiver, you got to stack more than that. I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to prioritize, me and my guy, Ryan Cowden, we're going to prioritize the top of the board.
It's kind of what Bill did in a way, right? What a lot of people would say is the scouts would do all this work. They'd even suggest a player, and then he's like, I like Tavon Wilson.
That's completely true.
And you're like, huh?
And I didn't hear that listening to it initially, but you said it the first time, and I hear it again the second time, and that's fair. So, look, I'm fearful Wolf is going to have a role. I hope he doesn't, and I hope it's exactly what you just said. Yeah, he's here because somebody's going to stack the draft board, and I'm going to have influence at the top, and that's all that matters. And Elliot Wolf, maybe you get to make the seventh-round pick because I don't care about it.
Yeah, right.
I'd be okay with that. So your read on the whole situation. We'll get into more from Mike Vrabel, not just with personnel. You heard his answers there on Elliot Wolf. You heard some of it this morning with the Greg Hill Show as well. But who's he bringing in on offense? Some names have emerged. Josh McDaniels specifically, he responded to that with Greg earlier today. You'll hear that coming up later on in the show, because on the way next, it's Tuesday, 12:45, which means it's time for the Madness. Kiefer Madness next.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
However, the uninvited guest in their house was more foul.
The man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe, and it's brought to you by Awaken 180. Start the new year risk-free with Awaken 180. No subscriptions, no hidden fees, just a proven plan to crush your goals. Have 20 to lose? You could reach that by February. Have more? Do the math, then go to awaken180weightloss.com. All right, Jones, it is not a creature feature. I feel like it breaks the streak of like a dozen straight animal stories during the madness.
Yeah, it probably goes back to when Gerard Mayo still had a chance to keep his job, I'd imagine, at least that far.
That is true.
Yeah.
We thought he was going to be coming back for year two.
Back to the Bears win.
What a time. However, we are going back to Florida.
Okay.
Again, vast majority of these stories are from Florida, but we've also taken a little hiatus.
Yeah.
We were in the Pacific Northwest at one point, and we were in Texas even. But we go to Florida, and it opens. It's a little bit more visual at first, but let me just tell you. It opens inside of a vehicle. You're inside of a police car, and it's the cam footage.
Oh, boy.
So you just see a car at first, and then it might kind of bump into something. But here we go. Cam footage.
Hello, ma'am. Are you okay? I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
My friend's locked up.
Okay.
You good?
I was like, oh my goodness, wait.
Yeah. So hard to hear, but basically they're about to tell you what happened. So it's a police officer going up to the back of another car, then to the side of the car, and asking the woman if she's okay because he just hit her car. Okay?
Okay.
So police car hit a woman in a parked vehicle.
Okay.
Okay. So what the hell happened?
Yeah.
He says, you might have heard him there, my brake's locked up.
Oh,
my brake's locked
up. Well, that'll happen. Your brakes can lock up.
I guess it can't scare. Yeah. Real scary.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what happened. I'll tell you, though, it's not.
A Lake County deputy comforts a driver just moments after he rear-ended her. You could
not that way, John. Not that with his vehicle. With his vehicle. Come on.
A Lake County deputy comforts a driver just moments after he rear-ended her. You could hear him say that his brakes locked up, but investigators say what really happened is much different.
All right, do you have a guess? Do you have a guess? So his brakes did not lock up, but he, in his patrol car, hit a parked car.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's not the brakes locking up.
You know, maybe he's inebriated, is something like that. Drinking on the job. Is that what's going on?
I really hope not.
Okay.
I really hope not. Let's find out.
That deputy is accused of watching pornography on his phone when he slammed into the back of that car.
That's right.
Nice.
The guy was watching porno whilst driving. He was driving his police car, watching porno on his phone, and then he smashed into a parked car.
I have a theory.
The lady was waiting for a kid at a bus stop. Yeah. Oh, you have a theory? I'm all ears on your theory. What's your theory?
I have a theory. Well, sometimes, Keith.
Yeah?
In Pornog.
The old risky click?
Yeah. Well, no, sometimes
I don't know if it was a risky click.
In Pornog, you get the dialogue is very engaging sometimes.
You want to hear it.
Yeah.
You need a story.
Yeah. And so the guy's a little lost in the story.
Sure.
And now he's like...
Not sure he's lost in the story.
I'm saying. So okay, he fell a little behind. He's watching. Yeah. He's like, boy, this is a good engaging story, but I came here...
Did he watch it with the closed captioning on?
For some nudité.
Puts the words on.
I bet you the Bluetooth connected to the car speakers.
Yeah, son of a gun. And so he fell.
The pizza man forgot the pizza?
He fell a little behind. He got locked up in the dialogue.
You better get back and get that pizza.
And he was like, whoa, here we go. And now when the good stuff started,
sure,
too late.
So let me
drive. I can't even believe it.
Let me drive my police car.
Yeah, well, he didn't intentionally drive. Yeah. He just got so locked up.
I'm not sure how
good storytelling
watching anything on your phone is while driving. Like an episode of Seinfeld would be dangerous, let alone a full-on porno.
Especially porn.
Yes.
Probably. That's because I could see the mind wandering a little bit.
A little bit.
among other things.
That deputy is accused of watching pornography on his phone when he slammed into the back of that car. Thanks for joining us here at 5. I'm John Brown. Welcome.
And I'm Luann Sorrell. Fox 35's Matt Trezza is live tonight in Lake County. So, Matt, that deputy actually ended up resigning after the truth came to light.
This guy bailed. He's like, I'm out. I can't defend this.
I don't know how you come back from that one.
Well,
you crashed into a civilian at a bus stop? Yeah. Why was that?
I was watching porn. driving the car.
I'm addicted to porn. Maybe that's what you do. Sex addiction. Maybe that's what you blame it on. Sex addiction.
That seems so 2000 and late.
Yeah, is it too?
Yeah,
is it out?
That one used to play.
You got an hour to kill before the tow truck gets in.
She's like, are you trying to, create your own porno?
It's always
like,
conveniently an hour.
Get out of here.
It's like, ma'am, I didn't see you there.
Saw this on a video. She's like, we need to report this.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm a police officer.
I am.
Terps put up some of the footage. You can literally see in the footage his airbag explode. That's not a euphemism. My airbag deployed.
That's working. I got to be honest. I don't always make it that far into the airbag exploding part of the video. I don't quite always get there.
30 more minutes in this?
Yeah, that's right. He is no longer on the sheriff's office force here. Initially, he had told his supervisors during the investigation that his brakes had locked up, but later on, the truth did come out.
How do you grade the first excuse of the brakes locked up?
The airbag footage is unbelievable, by the way, on Twitch.
What was your question? And then his phone. He has to pick up his phone.
And the towel sitting on the middle console. The whole thing is not good.
What's the matter with you?
Sorry, my airbag went off. This never happens.
There wasn't a towel.
I got a lot on my mind.
Yeah, there was.
No. I got a lot on my mind. I'm stressed at work. Bud.
Oh, no.
Driving, watching, and thinking of baseball.
That's right. Random baseball player come up an hour from now.
Yeah.
See if you can get it. But yeah, it's a real sad state of affairs for this guy. But my brakes locked up. Well, not great. You can see it right into the car. Terrible.
Oh boy.
Attention.
There is a towel there.
A towel. 911
assist call.
Will not be made.
All right, so let me start that over. So
yeah,
this
please.
Is it. This is so you're seeing the footage if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, but this is the audio of him kind of losing control of the car for a minute. He's a little preoccupied going into the back of this woman's car.
Attention, 911 assist is turned off. 911 assist call will not be made pleasant.
That is not the sound of pleasure, Jones. That is the sound of frustration.
Okay.
This whole thing.
It's a fine line.
I'm sure it was the first time he did this, though.
Yeah.
2980 County, 65 Signal 4.
That's the moment of impact when Lake County did.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah, the moment of impact.
I don't usually go much past the moment of impact myself. And what else is on?
That's the moment of impact when Lake County deputies say one of their own, now former deputy Tristan Maycomer, crashed into the car in front of him. The reason? Deputies say he was distracted by porn he was watching on his cell phone. After climbing out of his cruiser, Maycomer stops to pick his phone up from the floor.
Smashed into the car, airbag goes out, phone falls on the floor, and he's like, oh no. Like,
ew.
There's shame involved in it anyway.
Yeah.
This just kind of takes the cake. This is just too much.
He's
like, I quit.
He cried.
Like, we're just going to suspend you. I quit.
I'm done with this. No severance pay. I'm out.
I'm going to move.
Yeah, please. Just
I don't want to be I don't want to be around anymore.
He crashes into her. It's,
Yeah. It's a tough day at the
office. Did somebody just crash into my car? He's like, ma'am, excuse me, I'll come out in a second.
We need to call the police. She's like, I am the police.
Ma'am? She's like, why are you just sitting in your car? I'm not ready to stand up yet, ma'am. Yeah. I'll be there in a second.
Doing paperwork from here. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, just stay in your car, ma'am.
Stay in your car. Freeze.
Oh, darn it.
As he does.
You with a flashlight.
Yeah, right.
Stay back there.
Get back. Leave me alone.
Get it in.
All right. Stop, Unc. This is his actual reaction.
Oh, darn it.
As he does, you can clearly see that his seatbelt wasn't buckled either.
No kidding.
Oh, boy.
The least surprising thing, he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. That would have been very restrictive in what he was attempting to do.
I think, probably the thrill of
You know, no, no.
I'm not sure that's a no seatbelt, really. It just adds to it.
Deputies also noted that is a violation of professional practice.
Well, that's what we're hung up on, the seatbelt?
I was wondering.
Because just all this other stuff, if we can't get him on that, we can get him with the seatbelt. Can't fire him, he quit.
After the crash, Makeomer goes to check on the other driver who was stopped waiting for a school bus.
Hello, ma'am. Are you okay? I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
My brake's locked up.
Deputies say Makeomer also told them that brake problems caused the crash. Deputies say that was a lie, that his brakes never locked up, and he was just distracted by the racy images on his phone.
Be specific, if you could. For the trial.
Yeah, did video fall into images?
Say it again?
The video fall into images.
Could be.
So I'm asking, is like, is he looking at photos or is he watching?
Oh, he's just old penthouses on his phone?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Just like scrolling through
trifold.
Scrolling through like link trees.
He's
stuff
a still
like
image
that.
Guy. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
He's pilgrim.
All the hustlers.
Anything is possible with this gentleman.
We talked to the woman Makeomer crashed into. She didn't want to speak on camera, but said she wasn't hurt and the sheriff's office paid to fix her car.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Florida Highway Patrol is heading up the investigation into the crash itself. We've reached out to them to see whether or not there's going to be any further charges or if charges of any kind against Makeomer in this case. We're live in Tavares, Matt Trezza, Fox 35 News.
They haven't shared the video with me yet, guys.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here.
I've been diligently trying to do my research, to get them to share that video with me. They are not sharing the original video.
That deputy is accused of watching pornography on his phone when he slammed into the back of that car.
Tough go.
But there you go. There's the madness today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Honey, you going to work today?
Yep.
Well, I actually meant to tell you about this.
And he was just distracted by the racy images on his phone.
It does say images. Billy's
images.
Right.
Images. Maybe Billy's right.
Just on GeoCities.
Guy
just
is old school.
You're going to get there.
What is that? Wow. Okay, that was not where I was expecting that to go.
Nope.
Which is usually how Kiefer Madness goes. Every Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. We'll get into your feedback, 617-779-7937. Let's get back into Mike Vrabel and his offensive coordinator choices. That's next.